All right, and very happy to be here with you right now, everybody. You knew me here on VMFM 91.7, 91.5 back in the day as DJ Iceman, which came from my love for the X-Men movie. And in all honesty, it was the part where Bobby Drake, who obviously becomes Iceman, kisses Rogue and she blows out cold air, and that was just awesome to me. So, I mean, I haven't done that with my wife, but I hope someday. But I'm very happy to be here with you. Dan Tortora, Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora, is something that was created, but could not have been created if not for what I did here. So it's only fair to say on this special alumni weekend tribute to Mary Wood, Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora has come here. But Mary Wood, I want to thank you. And I want everybody that's listening in, if you are looking at a school to go to, Mary Wood University is the place to be. If you're communication arts, you want an opportunity, radio, TV, movies, whatever it may be, Mary Wood University gave me an opportunity to live out my dream. MU Courtside was my dream in November of 2003. It's been on the air covering men's and women's basketball from 2003 to where we stand right now in 2015. That is 12 years. My baby that I got to see grow in 4 years has gone double that time since I left Mary Wood. So I cannot thank Mary Wood enough for giving me the opportunity, but to see it grow and to now be back here with Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora, another creation of mine. So I want to thank everyone for being a part of everything. I mean, from Mark to Ernie to everybody. I mean, every single piece of adversity as well. Everybody that stood in my way, thank you, because now you get to listen to me on the radio, and I've been doing this for 12 years. So thank you for the love, and thank you for the adversity as well. So I'm very happy to be here. I have so many great interviews coming up, one-on-one, exclusive. You can't find them anywhere else. We're going to start with the director of athletics and recreation. That's Dr. Mary Jo Gunning. From there, we're going to go to the aquatics director, Greg Brown, then the women's soccer head coach, Mary Wood, Andrew Smith, followed by the baseball head coach, Jerry Davis, men's soccer head coach, Dawson Driscoll, and finish up with men's basketball, which is only fitting to do with MU courtside starting it all, as I said. So Bob Simmons, who just finished up his second year, he'll be here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora in a very special tribute to Mary Wood University. So let's get started with Mary Jo Gunning. And first and foremost, with Dr. Gunning, I felt like it was important for her to tell us what she can say about her passion for Mary Wood and how it's kept her here so long.
That's an easy question to answer. Like yourself, my undergrad was from Mary Wood. Mary Wood is more than the buildings, more than the degree, more than the sports program. Mary Wood, to me, is about life change. And that's why I have stayed at Mary Wood and have been privileged to do so. I have seen the impact that an education, and when I say education, I'm also including athletic participation and recreational endeavors, because I believe that they are all part of the education. I have seen the positive impact Mary Wood has on the lives of so many students, as well as on us as staff.
When you look at the athletics program and how things have grown from back in, I'm going to say, around my time of the early 21st century to where we stand today, what are some of the biggest changes that you've helped cultivate that you really feel like have helped the university?
Well, first of all, it's not, thank you for that, but it's not about me. It's about an analogy to a sport. It's about a team. And it's been the support that the Athletic and Recreation Department and myself have received from our president, Sister Mary, and now Sister Ann, our vice presidents and the Board of Trustees. Without that, nothing is possible, and that's very much appreciated. When I was hired, part of my the challenge that I was given was to start men's sports. So I had the privilege of doing that. We've grown from five sports to now 19, and we will be starting women's golf next year. I chuckle to myself, because sometimes when we have students in, athletes or non-athletes that we're recruiting, they'll look at our fitness center, which truly is state-of-the-art, and they'll say, but gee, a particular machine is missing. And I think back to the days when I first came on, there was no fitness center. There was some machines in a closet. So we have evolved, and I think the other extremely important thing is not looking at the numbers, not looking at the amount of sports, not looking at intramurals. We didn't even have intramurals before. But I think the important thing is we've been able to establish a real athletic tradition and a sense of wellness that includes recreational opportunities and fitness. And that to me is, what I'm most proud of, and I think is a positive reflection on Marywood's mission. That, and also I've had, and still do, I've had very good fortune to work with a real quality staff, including coaches. So that's been a pleasure too.
And one of those people on your staff obviously used to be a coach, a head men's basketball coach, now is still with men's golf. But with Eric Grundman, what was the thought process of figuring out to bring him from men's basketball, keep him in the athletic department, give him, you know, a different role, some change? What kind of went on with that?
Yeah, I actually thought that would be a very, very positive move, not only for the department, but also for Eric as the person. Eric has been here since 2001, rather, and his administrative abilities have just surfaced initially and flourished. So that was one component of his responsibilities and personality that really emerged, and I think Marywood gave him that opportunity to emerge, and he in turn gave so much back to the university. So that was obviously one critical decision maker for me. The second was he had a natural affinity for golf. He himself is a golfer and a rather successful one. And knowing his nature, I truly felt that he would be such an asset to a men's golf team. So it was really a natural progression for him. And in doing so and moving sports, he's also been able to take a more widespread role in administration, and particularly with being our lead in the Pacer Club, which ties in with your involvement as an alum.
Absolutely, and one thing that I remember, and I'll never forget this, I don't know if you remember it, but from everything of starting MU Courtside as a vision and a dream in 2003 for the name and the logo and a lot of things, blood, sweat, and tears that I put into it for its first 4 years, to see it still there. There was a moment in the new arena where you looked back at me and I said, thank you for everything. And you looked at me with the microphone and you said, you helped make this happen too. And I never forgot that.
Absolutely. And really, and you know, as you say that, this may seem odd, but I actually have chills, because it is everyone, and particularly yourself, because you pushed for it, and the reality, the dream is now a reality. And not only that, it's extremely important to our fan base. So you, my friend, are the catalyst and deserve all the merit for that. So, and make sure that the alumni board is aware of that.
I definitely will make sure they make a note, but it's meant so much to me for you to take some time. I know you're busy, and I cannot thank you enough. I look forward to having you back on my show soon.
Oh, always a pleasure. It's just that I knew today I was one after another. I'm always available for whenever you need me. Okay?
All right. Well, I appreciate it. You take care of yourself.
Enjoy. And thank you for being the alum and the supporter of Marywood, particularly the Pacers that you are. So thank you.
That coming from Dr. Mary Jo Gunning, Director of Athletics and Recreation at Marywood. Some amazing words. I will never forget some of the times that I got to share being in the old gym. And when I tell you starting MU courtside, it's not being the face of it. It's being the everything of going under the bleachers and going through dust and different pieces of different things that have fallen under there. You're going under there. You're setting up wires. You're connecting everything. You're making sure you have the right camera people. If somebody doesn't show up, you're trying to set up things. And I had a phenomenal crew. And I want to thank Joe Forgione and Brian Johnson, everything that they did on the air and everybody from there. It really has been special. And I got to have some great conversations with Brian and with Joe about that. So I know you guys didn't get to come to Alumni Weekend, but I hope that you're listening in. And I'm very happy for the both of you. And I'm hoping great things for the both of you and for everybody. Yeah, saw Jason here a little bit earlier, and phenomenal at running camera, everything that he did. So you brought back memories. We got to take some pictures with a couple good friends of mine to do some special things inside that Marywood Arena. So I want to thank Dr. Gunning for all of her words that truly, I don't know how I deserve them, but I will thank her for them because anything like that is special. And I want to go from there to Greg Brown. Greg Brown, who is the aquatics director, head men's and women's swimming and diving coach. And him and I talk about a lot of things here today. We're going to get into a lot of different things. First and foremost, what brought him to Marywood? What connected you, Greg, to the Pacers? That's what I think people should know first and foremost.
I actually came for a couple of different reasons. I actually spent 4 years as the head swimming and diving coach at Siena College up in Albany before I came here, and had a pretty strong Division I program out there. One negative to it was that we didn't have a men's team at Siena, and I really wanted to coach both men and women. And part of that reason, when it comes to having a men's team, is I was very fortunate to spend 4 years coaching my younger brother here at Marywood, and that was a pretty big deal. And, no men's team at Siena. There was no prospect of being able to do that. So I was able to come out here. And family's important to me. My dad actually got really sick, the summer before my last year at Siena. And it was some tough times. And it wasn't really easy for me to get home. I'm originally from the Harrisburg area.
Okay.
So it was really easy for me to come out here. So a lot of different things. Plus, too, they have a phenomenal aquatic center here at Marywood, which was way better than the facility that we had at Siena. And truthfully, I've been a collegiate head coach for 9 years, and it's one of the best facilities that, I've had the privilege to coach at.
When you went through everything, I want to go back to what you were saying about your dad when you were at Siena. What has he taught you? What have you been able to take away from him? I know whenever a family member gets sick, and I'm sorry to hear that that went on with you. But what positives were you able to take away? Because I feel like those that we're close to always have some messages that seem to ring true in our minds.
Well, I'm certainly very close with my father, still with my brother. And, that was, I think, something for him. He took a lot out of the fact that I came here to Marywood and that my brother Chris came to swim for me. And that was something for him that was, really special. I grew up, I played, in addition to swimming, I played baseball. My dad was my high school baseball coach. And, being able to, having your dad as your coach is good. Sometimes it's tough in a lot of different ways. And, my dad's just a really good guy. He's a really positive guy. He was the kind of coach when I was growing up that, he didn't yell and scream. He wasn't negative. Very positive guy. And I've taken a lot of that as I've, done my coaching over the years. And, he wants you to have a good passion for whatever it is you do, whether it's sports, whether it's, some other, like my brother did biotechnology, just whatever you're doing. He wants you to have a lot of passion and a lot of enthusiasm for what you're doing. And I really try to make sure I do that all the time.
What makes you enthusiastic about aquatics, swimming and diving? Obviously, that's something that You know, a lot of people love to get in the pool, especially people up north when it gets warm out. You want to get in the pool, you want to enjoy it. It's something that a lot of people can agree on is a relaxation thing. But as a sport and as something where you're going after something special, which I think, you know, the Olympics obviously helps out in building that publicity from, you know, over the years. But what makes you passionate about it? What draws you to the water?
I started swimming when I was 5 years old. You know, my parents brought me to, you know, the local pool in the summertime, needed to find something for me to do, I guess, and it really just took from there. And it was really one of those things that I've always been into swimming, but it wasn't until I got to college, and I swam collegiately. I went to Lycoming in Williamsport, and, you know, when I got to college, I got really competitive about the sport. It really became something that was, was a big deal to me. And, you know, it was just something where it was important to compete and do well in it. And I think ever since then, you know, when I was in college, I really knew that's when I wanted to be, a college swim coach. And, you know, it really took off from there. But I am very passionate about it. It's very important to me. I think it's a great sport. When it comes to fitness, I think it's a great sport. When it comes to, you know, mental toughness, and you know, it's really something that I'm passionate to, you know, to push and promote in any ways that I can.
Before I let you go, Greg, what type of ideals, values, morals do you have as a person and as a coach that you feel like parallel what Marywood is trying to do in the community?
Well, I mean, first and foremost, you know, any coach and any team, you know, wants to have athletes who do well and win awards and, you know, win championships and all that kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, Dan, I want a group of kids who are, they're good people. They've got good attitudes. You know, they've got good heads on their shoulders and that, you know, they're focused kids. I think that, you know, when kids come and do a sport at the collegiate level, you know, it can, you know, sometimes academics can get a little bit lost or sometimes kids can get too worried about what their social lives are. And it's always important to me that the kids come to school and, you know, they get a good education and that's what's important to them. You know, those are the kind of athletes we recruit. We want athletes who, you know, the academic side of it is very important, that they're there to get a good education. We want kids who come to Marywood because they love the school. It's a beautiful campus. There's so many majors and there's so much academic opportunity at Marywood. And we want kids who are excited about that and who are excited about the prospect of being, you know, part of the school, you know, both socially, academically, and then obviously from an athletic standpoint. You know, we want good kids. We want good, positive, excited kids, you know, when it comes to everything in their lives, not just swimming.
Well, that's definitely something that I think, you know, is easy to respect and easy to appreciate when it comes to wanting to build good character people and bring those people in. That's obviously, to me, the most important thing. You can find talent anywhere, but talented people who are good, genuine people are the ones you want to find. It seems like that's what you've gone after, Greg, so I cannot thank you enough, and I look forward to having you back on my show very soon, and I'm happy that you got to be on this special alumni weekend broadcast that I have of Wake Up Call. It really has truly meant a lot to me.
Well, it's no problem at all. I really appreciate, you know, you taking the time to chat with me, and you know, definitely excited to talk to you again sometime soon.
All right, sounds good, Greg. And in the meantime, hope everything goes well for you, and enjoy the great weather that the Northeast doesn't always get to have.
That is very true. I will definitely, and you enjoy as well.
That coming once again from Greg Brown, aquatics director at Marywood, head men's and women's swimming and diving. Want to thank him for coming on to the show. Greg Brown, before that, Dr. Mary Jo Gunning with some amazing words for some things I got to do here. I want to thank, and for everybody that's listening in, VMFM 91.7 and online to the live stream of VMFM 91.7, I thank you. I thank you for your support. This radio station has been an amazing station, not just in Northeast Pennsylvania, not just in the state of Pennsylvania, but for colleges around the country. So I think that you all deserve to give yourself a round of applause. Please don't do it if you're driving a vehicle. Park, then do it. But I want to thank you all for all your support. I want to thank you for everything you've done. I know Marywood appreciates it. I know I've always appreciated it. and it means so much to be back here doing something special. So I know you're used to the music, but I'm very happy to bring sports here tonight for you. Coming up next is Andrew Smith, the women's soccer head coach for the Marywood Pacers. And first and foremost, Andrew, what has kept you here? Where is your passion for the Pacers? Where does that come from?
Well, I think, I think anytime you're working at college, it keeps you, makes me feel young at least. the kids have always been good. I think, the ideals of Marywood, the mission, the values are something that I instill in my wife and, try to in my team as well. So it's hard to replace that. You know, they always say the grass isn't greener on the other side. I've been coaching for 15 years. I had numerous offers to go elsewhere. Every time when you sit down and you make a final decision, you know, it's a nice school, not only a nice school to work at, but it's a nice area to raise a family. And that's always kept me here, in addition to just the team aspect. You know, every year I bring in a new class and it's a new team, and you feel an obligation to them. So obviously being successful as well, that helps. That helps keep you here. presents you more opportunities to move on, but it also makes you want to stay too.
And looking at, like you talked about success, going to consecutive CSAC postseason tournaments, everything you've been able to do to make sure that, you know, when I was there at Marywood, you were building this team up to get to a point where you've been able to extend from there and be successful and make sure that the team isn't just winning games in the regular season, but does have a place in the postseason. What have you done over time that you feel like has created this climate of positive change for you?
I think one of the old sayings is, you know, winning breeds winning, or success breeds success. And every time you have a good year, it helps your recruiting class. The past 2 years, we've been to 8 consecutive playoffs now, including winning the conference championship and going to the NCAA tournament, and then 2 years later winning the ECAC tournament. But the past 2 years, we've been down a little bit with our overall record just because of injuries, and we've always played a very tough non-conference schedule. But if you look at our conference record during those years, we've always been one of the top, I think 5-6 years in a row, we were the top team in the conference, and then in the regular season, and then, like last year, maybe we still made the playoffs and advanced in the playoffs and everything like that. So, the success naturally builds success, and I think that's kind of revolved around other teams too. Not that it's a competition or we're working against each other, but, you know, I think other coaches see successful programs and they want a successful program as well. So you kind of see that attitude in all the coaches that help motivate you to go recruit and find the right kids and bring in. But obviously winning helps bring in a lot of kids, and they want to be part of successful programs. Even at the Division III level, they're still looking at athletics. You know, it's not the end-all, be-all for a lot of the kids in terms of their decision. Mostly it's academics, or could be geography or location. Athletics does play a role at this level, and they still want to be successful.
When you're on the recruiting trail, what's it like for you with your program, with Marywood, with being at NCAA Division III? I mean, obviously you said that, you know, success breeds success, and if you're having a winning program, that's going to help in recruiting. But how do you feel that Marywood and your program specifically are responded to when you're on the road?
Well, for me, coaching a women's sport, I think we have a little bit added advantage. Obviously, there's more generally female-oriented majors than there are male, although those are growing a lot in terms of male majors, ones that males pick up in terms of business or architecture, a lot of those others. But Mary, with their traditional background in education, the arts, the health sciences, stuff like that, so we kind of have an added advantage there because we're very strong in those areas. And so a lot of the times, it's not just me identifying kids, but it's good players finding us. They do their search nowadays on computers. They say, you know, I want a smaller school. I want to be within 3 hours of home, and I want it to have this major. And Marywood pops up, and then they contact me. I'll go out and evaluate them to see if I think they're at the level they need to be to play for us. But then I also generate stuff too. I'm at tournaments, and I see a kid that I really like. I look down and, oh, she's a nursing major. Okay, let me email her. And, you know, or she's an interior architecture major. Let me email her and tell her we have that major. So for me, I think, and there's also on the women's side of sports, I think there's a lot less ego involved in the recruiting process. We just landed a girl coming in next year that is a high-level Division I player, in my opinion. I think she's going to be one of the best players we've ever had here. And she's coming because we have architecture, and she wants to be able to play her sport for 4 years and be an architecture major, and it's hard to do that with a time commitment and the training necessary at Division I and Division II level programs. So we wouldn't have got her if we didn't have that major, you know, or if we weren't within 2 hours of her house in New York. So, you know, those are the kind of things that you have to look at. You have to sell those different things to those kids. You know, the landscape is changing a little bit. There's less and less kids available. Obviously, schools are getting more and more expensive as well. They're competing at state schools or even junior colleges now, as kids try to save money. But you have to try to recruit a kid that's going to earn a lot of academic merit to replace that. And sometimes we can have Marywood can have a better financial aid package than some Division I or II schools, or even some state schools, because state schools won't give out academic money because they are cheaper. So, you know, whereas they might seem cheaper on base tuition, Mary was giving higher-end academic scholarships, and it helps us to stay competitive in the recruiting market.
When you look at, like you said, bringing in a high-end Division I player, can you name that player right now, or are they still not?
Yeah, no, she's Madison Datches. She's from Monroe, New York, and she played with the Nirvana Club soccer team. Monroe was kind of out, if you went out, 84 towards Poughkeepsie. It's on the way out there. She's been an all-state player in New York. This girl we've worked on for a year and a half, kind of, and she's been to campus a few times. Loved her overnight visit when she came last year. But, you know, she was somebody we had our fingers crossed for, but we weren't counting on it because she had numerous Division I and II offers, full rides, everything like that, from some pretty high-level places at Division I and II. And, you know, nowadays with the expense of school, we were thinking, well, we're going to try to get her, and we're hoping architecture keeps her looking at us. You know, we weren't counting on it. She's one of 13 incomers we have for next year, and 13 new players. We have 11 freshmen and 2 transfers. And I think we're going to be younger next year, but we're going to be a lot more talented.
When you look at the talent that you've been able to put together, how much do you put it on your system? I mean, every coach has a plan, a way that they do things.
Yeah.
You're talking about bringing in this talent, and you've obviously been successful over time. How much do you put it on your specific system?
You know, I don't think it's very much the system of play. I think it's more the coaching style and the belief of the coaching staff. You know, we try to promote a family atmosphere. We try to bring in kids that can all play multiple positions. And I always tell recruits, you know, we've generally played a 4-3-3, 4 defenders, 3 midfielders, 3 forwards the past 5 or 6 years. But throughout the course of a season, we'll play a 4-4-2, a 4-5-1. Throughout the course of a game, we might play 3 different systems depending if we're up a goal, down a goal, whatever the case may be. So I always tell the kids, every year I'm going to try to find the best system for the 11 players that play the best together, not necessarily the 11 strongest players or the 11 most talented players. Sometimes a talented defender might not start because they don't have any offensive skill or because they can only play man-marking defense instead of zone defense and stuff like that. So, you know, like if we end up with, ideally, in our league, in our conference, a 4-3-3 works the best because it's attack-oriented and we can throw numbers forward and we can get forward quickly. But there are times we have to play a 4-4-2 and defend a little bit more. And everything like that. But so I don't really sell that as a recruiting thing, like saying, oh, you know, 4-4-3. The only time I go out and look for a specific position player is once every 4 years I go out and try to find a goalie. Other than that, you know, I'm looking at kids that are versatile, that have high soccer IQs, that love the game, that study the game on and off the field, you know, just that are passionate. And if they have some versatility and can play multiple positions, that's even better.
When you look at not just your program, but Marywood as a whole, how have things changed for the better over time? What have you seen from the university that has grown from the early 21st century to where we stand right now?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, the athletic facilities here at Marywood are top-notch. I mean, they are Division I athletic facilities in terms of field, courts, the weight room, the athletic training areas, the equipment that's available, stuff like that. So the $25 million or so that Marywood sunk into athletics since the building of the Center for Athletics and Wellness in 2006, I believe, that has changed everything. But beyond athletics, one of the biggest selling points I have to recruits, the campus, as you know, as an alumni, is gorgeous. It's not in the middle of the city, but it's not far away.
Right.
It's not a metropolis like an area, but there's so much to do in the area. That's a big selling point. It's 2 to 3 hours from so many major cities, Baltimore, New York, and Philadelphia, and up to Syracuse, in terms of recruiting. So it's an easy trip for these kids. So, but one of the biggest things I tell recruits on campus, whenever I bring a kid on campus, I always tell them, I say, you know, look around as you go through. The academic side of stuff, the classrooms, technology in the classrooms, has always been kept up to date. But one of the things you'll notice at Marywood compared to the other schools is the student life side of things, where kids spend their time outside the classroom, whether they are athletes or not, really. Those facilities are always being, they're either new, recently renovated, or they're in the works, you know, for building. So you're talking about where kids sleep, the residence halls. They're like hotels now. It's not the old dorms, two bedrooms or two beds and a bathroom for the entire floor. You know, the cafeteria has been redone 3 or 4 times since 2005, I think. And it's always being made to have a more homey feel to it. The recreation facilities, like I said, the fitness center, stuff like that, even for non-athletes, are tremendous. And now the Learning Commons is the newest one, the library. You know, so these are the areas where kids spend their time outside the classroom. And at college, as you well know, you spend a lot of time outside the classroom.
Right.
So, you know, as opposed to when you're in high school, you're going from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m., then to practice, then to home. You know, here you might have a class from 8 to 9 a.m. and not another one again until 1 to 2 p.m. So it's what you're doing in between those times that keeps you here, and on weekends and stuff like that. So the student life side of things has really helped athletics, because a lot of our programs, myself included, recruit regionally, not just locally, regionally, like up to 4 hours away. I just had a girl graduate that came from Miami, Florida, was here for 4 years. You know, like, so she needs stuff to do on the weekends and everything like that. You know, she's not going home to visit, you know, on a weekend. So those areas of improvement from the campus-wide thing have really helped athletics and all the teams, I think.
Well, Coach, I mean, obviously it has been a pleasure. It was a pleasure watching when I was there at Marywood, and it is a pleasure having you back on the show. It's good to see you're still there building a strong program, and I look forward to not only having you back on the show outside of this wake-up call special for Alumni Weekend, but hopefully getting to talk to you face-to-face and catch up a little bit more.
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, welcome back to campus, and we hope to keep in touch with you, and we're following on Twitter and your show, and keep promoting you. We're glad to see alumni doing well and helping them out in any way possible.
Well, thank you, and I'm happy to see you doing well as well.
Thank you, Dan. Appreciate it.
That, once again, Andrew Smith, the women's soccer head coach. Truly appreciate him taking some time here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora. For the first time ever, Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora is here. It is crazy. 2003, MU Courtside was started. That was my first baby. Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora, it's my newest kid, is what I like to call it. So to look at the past 12 years and to do something that had never been done before with MU Courtside, and now to do something that's never been done before, bringing Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora here to my original airwaves, VMFM 91.7 and VMFM 91.7 online, make sure that you check it out. Let people know. If you're an alum or you just love sports, you're hanging out tonight, thank you for tuning in. I appreciate it so very much. We need to get the alum back here. I am also very blessed today to have officially joined the Marywood Alumni Association Board of Directors. So I'm coming after everybody to do this, to become a part of something special. I want you out here back at Marywood supporting the Pacers. There's so many great things here. I would not be sitting here today if not for everything that Marywood taught me. So thank you to my teachers. Thank you to everybody on the staff. And thank you more than anything to my friends who I knew from day one, who are sitting here in the studio with me today. That's what Marywood gave me. And that was the most important thing. Coming up next is Jerry Davis, the baseball head coach for the Marywood Pacers. And first and foremost, Coach, I want to congratulate you. 2012-2015 Colonial States Athletic Conference Coach of the Year. I just want to start with what the last two decades of being at Marywood has done for you. What has it taught you? What has it meant to you as we continue here on Wake Up Call with Dan Satora, Alumni Weekend Special from Marywood University?
Well, most it's it means a lot to me because the coach of the year, you're elected by your peers. So you're recognized by your peers, and that's what's important. But well, that means a lot, I should say. But quite simply, a coach is as good as his players. It's easy to win with good players, and it's easy to not be successful with not so good players. So it's a very simple equation. I'm successful because I have the group of players that I had who are willing to work hard and their commitment to the program.
When you look at commitment by your players, by your coaching staff, by yourself, the first time that Marywood has ever made a CSAC postseason happened in 2012. What was that moment like for you and for your group, your team, at that point? When you look back on everybody that compiled that team, just what that moment meant from the squad that you had?
It was special just because of the group of individuals that we had on the team. It was a very close-knit group team, and they worked quite hard to get where they were. And being there from day one, it was gratifying. I was there since the second year of the program, and it was sort of a progression. Every year you have different goals. You know, early, our first couple of years, our goal was to, believe it or not, was to hold the other team under 20 runs. And then as time went on, it was to hold the team under double digits. And then as time went on, time progressed, we were able to compete, eventually able to win games and then compete in a pretty good conference.
When you look at, like you said, being there from the beginning of this program, what did you learn under Coach Ross that maybe has helped you to get to where you are today? Did you take anything away from him?
He took me everything I know. What's important, what I believe is important as a coach, is to be yourself. Because the team is reflective of your personality. Don't try to be something you're not. And just... Again, be yourself. He taught me the nuances of the game and how to deal with it. The most difficult part of coaching is dealing with all the different personalities. You've got 25 or 30 personalities, and that's the most difficult part of coaching, to be able to get them to play together and to buy into what you're trying to accomplish.
When you say you look to the players, how have you built your bridge to them? Like, how is your communication with them? How do you feel? How do you try to come across to them to bring out the best in them?
I come across as being myself. I try to develop. I know I develop personal relationships with them, and I talk with them about life lessons just as much as I do about baseball. I have a pretty good rapport with my players. I have players come to me with everything from bad grades to family issues to drug and alcohol issues and different things like that. And they're comfortable enough to come to me with those type of things. So in that regard, I think I have a pretty good rapport with them. I think I understand them. And your players have to like you. I've learned your players have to like you for them to play for you. And I just try and have that positive rapport with them.
When you look at what matters most to you as a head coach, when you're teaching young minds, and like you said, you're not just dealing with the athlete side, you're dealing with the student side, you're dealing with the person who is a son, who is a boyfriend, who is somebody who's struggling here, struggling there. I mean, there's different things that are going on throughout a person's life outside and off of the field, off the diamond. So when you look at all the ideals that you hold true and that are important to you, what do you try to instill in these gentlemen to help them grow as people and not just baseball players?
Never quit. Never quit. I instill represent yourself, university, and the program in a positive manner. That is what I say day after day. What's most important to me is that they strive with, is that they get their degree and that they're making positive, the appropriate steps to earn that degree with the, within the allotted time frame, whether it be a 4-year program or a 5-year program.
As far as the facilities of Marywood, what can you say about how they've grown over your time there? And in 2 decades' time, how have you seen not only baseball develop, but to see Marywood Athletics develop?
Oh, my goodness, tenfold. When our baseball program first started, we didn't have a field on campus. We used to have to bus to practice across town, which made it very difficult. Now we've got one of the nicest fields in the region. As far as the athletic facility is concerned, we may have the nicest facility in the region. It's an $18 million facility that was built about 10 years ago, and it's just outstanding for a Division III school, for even a Division I school. It's an outstanding facility, and it's a good recruiting tool to use when the new students are coming in with their parents. That's where I meet them, because I like to showcase the facilities, and that's a good selling point for the university.
And Jerry, lastly, before I let you go, what keeps you passionate about Marywood? What makes you believe that you can? I mean, you've done so many great things with the program recently. What makes you hungry to do more when it comes to Marywood?
The support of the athletic director and the athletic department. I've got great support from Dr. Gunning. I think our program is getting better and better every year, and it's going to continue to grow. This year, so far, I've got 18 new recruits coming in for next year, and we're not finished yet. So winning makes you hungry. This year, we had a very successful year. We weren't able to advance the playoffs. Next year, we're looking to advance the playoffs and take it to the next level.
Well, Jerry, I definitely hope that you do that. I look forward to having you on my show on Wake Up Call again outside of just this alumni special. And I look forward to the opportunity to shake your hand, and you definitely sound like somebody who cares a lot, and I respect someone who does that, so I look forward to the opportunity to do that soon.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you very much. How did I do?
You did very well, Jerry. No worries.
I stumbled a few times.
No, you're perfect. You're good. And over time, like I said, well, I'll have you back on, and I'm going to do some special things. I got some ideas for Marywood, so I'll make sure I keep you in touch with all that. Now that I'm with the alumni board, I'll be around more often too, which will be good.
That's great. Thank you very much for giving the program the exposure.
That coming once again from Jerry Davis, the baseball head coach here at Marywood University. And I want to give a shout out to John Granquist as well as Mark Granquist, who were both members of the baseball team, and Ross and Carl Turetsky as well. All these gentlemen who I still keep in touch with. John, who is with me here today. And now he's running out of the room because he doesn't want to be on the air. So that's fine. But I thank everybody, seriously, who has been a part of everything in athletics, from Dr. Mary Jo Gunning, who has been on the show today, Greg Brown, Andrew Smith, Jerry Davis. Coming up right now, Dawson Driscoll, men's soccer head coach at Marywood University. And Dawson, in spending a decade with the Pacers, what has kept you in it? What's kept you here at Marywood caring about this team?
Well, I think it was a challenge. I like challenges. I was the first really full-time men's soccer coach at Marywood. I started in 2006, and I think the challenge was the biggest factor that kind of attracted me to the program. So it's kind of taken it from square one up to like much higher level throughout the years. So I guess the challenge was the most important aspect. I think also just the school itself. I like the values of the school. It's a Catholic school, and I thought I had some good academic
programs. It was a nice campus. So that was a good unknown commodity in the soccer world. So it was exciting to kind of get in there and get it going.
What experience did you kind of build off of that you had in the past before coming to Marywood? What can you say are some things that you really felt were vital to making you a good head coach candidate to come here and build a program at Marywood?
Sure. Well, I had some head coaching experience before. I was a Division II coach for a few years in Missouri and also down in Florida, University of Tampa. I was down there for a few years. So I think I was well prepared coming in to the program, knowing what it's like to have to recruit quality student athletes to be successful. Because of other two schools I was coaching before, you know, I had to, get out and really, really, recruit hard to get quality players. So I think I brought that to the table, that kind of experience, and obviously the, the actual coaching experience, and I had success in the past at the previous schools I've been. So I kind of had a good feeling how what it takes to win. So I think you get those two together. If you can coach and if you can recruit, you're going to probably develop a good program.
Obviously, recruiting is something that's vital. It's the lifeblood of creating a successful program. And with you being the first ever full-time Marywood men's soccer head coach, what was it like for you to kind of grassroots and build something? I mean, obviously, you've been successful most recently in numerous years leading up to where we are now. So what can you say you did when you came in to really try and establish successful recruiting?
Well, I think when I came in, it was kind of the cover was pretty bare, so I kind of had to start square one again. And my first goal was just to bring in bodies, basically kids that could play. So my goal the first few years is to bring in numbers of, and the quality had, somewhat of a quality there, but I think my first year I brought in 18 to 20 players. So it was kind of just the first couple, 2-3 years was bringing a lot of players and establishing, your culture and your style of play and all that kind of stuff. And some guys could weed it out through that. And then once you get yourself established, with a pretty good program, you can be a little more selective with the higher recruit. So it was kind of like, it was a feast on recruits. And now it's, you can be a little more selective in terms of what we need now. But still recruiting is still, it's a fairly challenging thing. At any Division III level and without having scholarship money. So that's something we're always doing. But I think that was the main thing was just bringing in bodies that could play and establishing what you wanted to do when you're going forward.
How did you overcome and how do you overcome the Division III way of recruiting where, like you said, it's not scholarship dollars, but there's obviously a lot that Marywood has to offer. What do you pitch as the best components if a student athlete is to come and play men's soccer for Marywood? What do you really try to show them and talk to them about outside of not having that scholarship money?
Well, I think the first thing is academics. You got to find some really strong academic programs, especially for men now. Marywood, the architecture program, for example, which is added a few years ago, has been very beneficial, I think, for men's sports in terms of attracting that kind of person. So I think academics is probably the first thing. You want to make sure you're finding the right kids that want to be in a business major, architecture major. We have a good communications program, excellent PA program now at Marywood, biotechnology program. We have a speech pathology program. We have some very strong majors at Marywood. So I think some of the academic part is the main thing, and I think Marywood does that a very good job with the offer. I think, again, it's selling the small school environment, selling the culture of the team, and also, again, the Catholic small school, a lot of support, not a number type thing, but there are a lot of other Division III schools, so I think, again, it's the academic parts and again, selling the program and having it's my campus and seeing how beautiful campus Marywood really is meeting the players and the team and through that process, I think, know, that's probably one of the better ways I go about
getting
kids here right now.
Well, Dawson, I greatly appreciate it. I know that this is for a special wake-up call episode here for Alumni Weekend, but I look forward to having the opportunity of having you back on the show and talking with you as you progress through and have more success under your program.
I appreciate it very much. Thank you very much.
That, once again, Dawson Driscoll, the men's soccer head coach for the Marywood Pacers. And we have now come to that final conversation, final one-on-one exclusive. This is with Bob Simmons. He just finished his second season as the men's basketball head coach. It was only fitting to finish with men's basketball after covering men's and women's basketball with MU Courtside from 2003 to 2007, and now that baby has grown up to be 12 years old. Amazing. Thank you, Marywood. Thank you, everybody that supports the show, because you help make it possible every single day. And like I said, to Joe Forgione, Brian Johnson, and everybody after that, you're all amazing. Thank you for what you've done with MU Courtside. And my vision becoming a reality and then continuing is something that truly means the world to me. Wake Up Call with Dan Tatora. We are live sitting in studio right now, VMFM 91.7, VMFM 91.7 online as well, streaming anywhere in the world. And I am sitting in the first chair I ever sat in when it came to broadcasting. So the 2 weeks into being a student at Marywood University, and I don't know if they still do this with freshmen, but I thought it was amazing. They threw you right into it. 2 weeks in, you started your show. You had to learn the board, know everything, get the music ready, be able to talk, all of that. So it has been amazing to be back in the studio. It's going to be so hard to see these walls no longer here. September 8th, going to be a whole new building, but it's a new chapter. I'm excited about that for Marywood University. And at the same time, it's bittersweet, but it was great to see so many people that, you know, obviously were in Comm Arts with me at Marywood University, so thank you for that. Once again, Dan Tatora here. Bob Simmons is rounding out the Wake Up Call with Dan Tatora special for Alumni Weekend at Marywood University. And then I have another special way of not saying goodbye, but saying see you later, because you know, folks, just as I am right now, I'll always be back here, and Marywood is always close to my heart. Bob Simmons coming up next, men's basketball head coach. And Bob, we'll start here. What brought you to the Pacers?
Sure. Well, originally, my wife and I are originally from this area. We're both from Hazleton, Pennsylvania, Dan, and all our family is still there. And we wanted to come back home, bring our two daughters home to be part of the family. After spending 11 years at Division I and traveling all over the country, whether it was job-related or recruiting-related, it was time to come home. So that was a big attraction. And when looking at Marywood, what attracted me to the position was the academic reputation of the school is very, very good. The campus is beautiful. The location is great. And when looking at the basketball-specific portion of the job, I felt that everything was in place for us to be successful here. I thought from a recruiting standpoint, we're in a great location. We had a great education to offer. We have a beautiful campus to offer. We got a great facility, playing a very, very good conference. I thought there was a lot of things here in place for us to be successful. So those were the reasons why looking at this job would attract me to it.
When you look at the fact, like you said, you feel that Marywood was a good place to go for recruiting, how do you feel, and I know you're only two seasons in here at Marywood, but how do you feel that players have responded to you on the recruiting trail? How have they responded to you as a coach and the name of Marywood?
Sure. The response has been good. It's been good. A big challenge for us, Dan, I won't lie to anybody, was educating everyone, players, high school coaches, AAU coaches, educating them on Marywood University. A lot of people weren't familiar with it, especially in the basketball world. And so that was a big challenge for us, but we were able to get out there, myself and my staff, and we were able to get out there and burn up the roads and beat the bushes and spread our message. We joke that we spread the Marywood love one dribble at a time, and we were able to get out there and do that.
when you look at the fact that the coach before you, Eric Grundman, is still obviously there in the athletic department, when you came in and then he moved into his new role, how much of a relationship have you been able to build with him, and do you like the fact that the former men's basketball coach is still right there at Marywood?
Yeah, let me say this about Eric Grundman. Eric and I know each other a long time through the basketball world. While he was at Lackawanna, I actually recruited two of his players, was able to get one of his players to come play for me when I was at another school. So we had a professional relationship, and since I've gotten here, Dan, I can tell everyone this, and I have told everyone this. If I'm ever in a situation where I'm at a school and I leave coaching but stay at the school, I hope that I can treat the person that replaces me as the basketball coach half as well as Eric Grundman has treated me and my family. He has been phenomenal to me, to my family, both personally and professionally. It's been a blessing having him, and I feel I'm very fortunate to have him here to talk with and bounce ideas off of and learn from his experiences. So it's been great.
What is it about Eric that, like you said, you hope that you could, if you ever stay somewhere and another basketball coach comes in, that you can treat them half as well as you've been treated professionally and personally? What sticks out about Eric that makes you say those words that hold so much positive weight to them?
He's always there for me and my family. Always there. His door's always open. His phone's always on. He's at peace with not being the basketball coach anymore. He's very happy in his role as assistant athletic director and head golf coach. He's very good in the place that he's at. And because of that, he's able to, talk with me, whether it's about basketball, recruiting, X's and O's, strategy, fundraising, appearances, things of that nature. Those are the things that really stood out to me with him.
Going to what you did as Coach Grundman was the head coach before you. You, before Marywood, were at Ball State. You brought it up a little bit earlier here. Division I, spending your time there as an assistant coach, associate head coach, you spent more than a decade at Ball State in Division I. What, besides coming back and being closer to home, what made you say, you know what, I'm okay leaving the Division I ranks to come to Marywood despite it being Division III? What did it for you outside of it being Northeast PA?
Yeah, it's a great question. I tell everybody, I learned during those 11 years at Lehigh University and at Ball State University who Bob Simmons really was and what was important to him. And not a lot of people are able to do that, but fortunately for some reason I was. And I'm a small town guy, I'm a Northeast guy, and I'm a Division III guy. I went to Wilkes University, played at Wilkes, got my education from Wilkes, started my coaching career at Division III, Lebanon Valley College, Delaware Valley College, and really never changed that. How as I moved up to Division I and from an assistant to top assistant to associate head coach, I never really lost that. And, the Division III mentality. And so I don't look at it as coming down. I just look at it as here's an opportunity to be a head coach, and it's where I belong. There's a lot of great coaches at Division III that a lot of people don't know about, and there's a lot of people that started Division III and are in Division I. And two guys that I always bring up, Bo Ryan, started Division III and did pretty well for himself now at Wisconsin, and Brad Stevens started at DePaul University, Division III in Indiana, and he's doing okay in the NBA. So, a lot of good coaching going on at the Division III level. For me, to come back to Division III, it was just a great opportunity because it's who I am, it's what I am, it's what I believe in.
When you said that you've always had the Division III mentality, how would you define that?
Yeah, people ask me that all the time. The Division III mentality is you're going to roll your sleeves up and get the job done. You don't have the luxury, let's say like we did at Ball State, Dan, where you know, we had a video coordinator, we had a director of basketball operations, we had two assistants, myself, the head coach, you know, a secretary, student managers, you know, at Division III, it's you and a lot of part-time assistants, you know, or volunteer assistants. So, you know, you're gonna do what you have to do, whether it's, you know, sweep the floor, blow the basketball ups, wash the equipment, drive the van, order the pregame or postgame meal, type your own scouting reports, enter your own recruiting notes. It sounds funny to people that, what do you mean, you know, that you don't do that? Division I, you got people to do that for you. Division III, you're doing that. I was at Division I continued to do that. I never let anybody do my work. It was my work, it was my responsibility, and I was going to get it done. So that's what I mean by that, the Division III mentality.
When you look at the basketball program that is at Mary Wood, to get to double digits in wins has been difficult over the years. What are you trying to implement? What is a Bob Sibbins run Mary Wood men's basketball program? What is that defined as?
Sure. Our whole philosophy, and I articulated this from my interview, the press conference, and every day since, our whole philosophy is family. It is all centered around family. We plus us equals family. That's our mantra. And so that's what we talk about with our recruits when we're recruiting them. You're not going to be any more important than the guy sitting next to you, than the guy that's getting 30 minutes a game and the guy who doesn't get any minutes. You know, we all have a job to do. We plus us equals family. So that's what we preach during the recruiting process, and we carry that over here once the guys are here. We're in this together. We all win, we all lose. So very unselfish basketball is what we strive for, and that, you know, goes into the system that we run. And you look at some of the records we broke this year. One of those was having the most assists in a single season in school history. So the guys are starting to figure that out. And because of that, the wins are coming. You know, second most wins in school history this past year. So unselfish basketball. We play for the man to our left, the man to our right.
I can honestly say that MU courtside, being my baby back in 2003 and seeing that they have grown and obviously has included basketball throughout the years, I would love the opportunity to have been there on the sideline watching you do this, but I look forward to the opportunity of having you back on the show, because men's basketball through MU courtside was always close to my heart, and I look forward to being able to continue that in your chapter now.
We appreciate it, and you're welcome to come anytime and be a special guest or just be a fan sitting there in the stands cheering us on, and I'd love to do the show anytime you want. I got a great face for radio, as I tell everybody, so have me on anytime you want.
Well, Bob, thank you. I appreciate that. And it's, you know, a lot of coaches say that. A lot of coaches just say that they have the face for radio. I just. But
We all do. If you look at us really close, yeah, we all do. We don't get much sleep, you know, bags under the eyes and gray hairs. Maybe that's why we all say that. We all have that in common, that's for sure.
Well, I definitely appreciate it. One thing you have in common is, you know, a lot of positive energy that comes through, and that's something that I know is invaluable to Mary Wood and to me as well. So thank you for being on this special wake-up call for Alumni Weekend, and I look forward to the next time that we get to talk.
Sounds good. I look forward to it as well, and I look forward to seeing you this weekend.
That coming from Bob Sibbins, the men's basketball head coach, 2 years in at Mary Wood University. I want to thank every single guest that I had, Dr. Mary Jo Gunning, as well as Greg Brown, Andrew Smith, Jerry Davis, Dawson Driscoll, and Bob Sibbins. There's much more to come. I have a lot of ideas. That's the beauty of owning your own company. And thank you, Mary Wood, for giving me a lot of tools to do that. Owning your own company means that I can do things with Mary Wood University that nobody else can do. And that is a beautiful thing. And I'm very excited about what the history of this may be sooner than later. So I thank everybody that's been on the show, MU Courtside, Love it. Love everything. Love that it's still here. Wake Up Call with Dan Satora, Alumni Weekend Special. You can find me on wakeupcalldt.com. Listen, watch, read, enjoy. So make sure you head over there and check everything out. I'm broadcasting every single day of the year, all the time, for the past 12 years. So thank you for your support. Thank you for your love. Thank you, Marywood. And before I go, and I was told I could go a little bit over my time, so I thank Ernie and Mark for that. But I want to say that being in this studio, and I said it before, but to sit in this studio means the world to me. To sit in a studio where you have three of your closest friends that you knew basically from day one, to the person in Brandon that gave me an opportunity to be on broadcasting for the basketball games, which ended up turning into MU courtside, and I don't think he ever knows now what that's meant for me back in 2003 in November, to Steve and John who are in here who I've known who lived either across the hall from me or one door down for the first 2 years, and obviously knowing them all the way through here, to Kirsten, who Brandon and Kirsten found each other after being at Marywood, are married and are expecting a little boy later on this year. And I think the biggest thing that I can say is that I didn't know her when I was here. I'm not going to get emotional on radio. I promised myself I wouldn't. But I didn't know her when I was here. And I want to thank all the crazy women I dated that got me to where I am today. But to look at her sitting here in the studio, I want to thank my wife, Kate, for being behind every single dream that I've ever had before she knew me, supporting all the ones that were always there, to the new dreams I have every single day. She keeps me going, and it means the world to me to have her in my life. So I had to say those words. I had to let everybody hear that because it's important every single day of your life to let the people that you love know that you love them. So I'm going to let them come on the air and say whatever they want to say as we wrap everything up here. But to my wife, to my friends, thank you for everything. So I'll let you guys come on if you want to say anything, but you needed to know that because 12 years later, to have the most important people is the most important thing to me.
Anything.
Thank you, Brandon.
Thank you for having us be a part of your show today. We hope everyone out there definitely enjoyed the Wake Up Call with Dan Satora. Appreciate everything. It was a good time. We got a live audience now.
Nice.
But no, you made an awesome future for yourself, and you're just going to continue to build off on that. And this is where it all began, and I'm glad I could be a part of that.
Thank you, Brandon. Anybody else? Kirsten, expecting that little guy. Any thoughts here as you sit in the studio?
My initial thoughts would definitely be you guys need to start as well, because this little guy's going to need a nephew or niece.
Oh, boy. Well, you heard it live on the radio. Apparently, I got to start having children now.
Meet me in the pub. It's going down.
Oh, boy. But I want to seriously thank everybody from Kirsten, Brandon, John, Steve, Kate, my wife, everybody that's listening in, and to Mark, to Ernie, and to everybody that is here that made this possible, to Marywood University. You are listening to someone who's following their dream every single day. So every Marywood University student, make sure you do that. And for everybody coming to Marywood, get into this radio station. Give them an opportunity. You will not be sorry. This is Wake Up Call with Dan Satora, signing off from VMFM 91.7. God bless, be well, and I'll talk to you all soon.
WVMWFM 91.7, Marywood University.